जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय माधव जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरा जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी डिवाइन ग्रेस लेते भक्ति धर्म स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की प्रभुपाद आविर्भाव महामहोत्सव की ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जायामुधीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी कृष्णाय वासुदेवाय देवकी नंदनाय च नंदगोपाकुमाराय गोविंदाय नमो नमः नमो पंकजनाभाय नमो पंकज मालिने नमो पंकज नेत्राय नमस्ते पंकजांग्रे ओम अज्ञान तिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानांजना शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्री गुरु दीनतारिणं परमानंदमाधवं श्री चैतन्यं ईश्वरं नमः ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्णा चैतन्या प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैता गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। योन्ता प्रविश्य मम वाचमिमां प्रसुप्तां संजीवयत अखिल शक्ति दरा स्वधाम्ना अन्यां शहस्त चरण श्रवण त्वगादीन प्राणान् नमो भगवते पुरुषाय तुभ्यं। कतांचना स्मृते यस्मिन् दुष्करं सुकरं भवेत् विस्मृते विपरीतं स्यात् श्री चैतन्यानामान्तम्। हरे कृष्णा। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। ऑन दिस मोस्ट ऑस्पिशियस ओकेजन ऑफ श्रील प्रभुपाद अपीयरेंस डे I want to express my deep gratitude to all the devotees for giving an opportunity to serve all of you by sharing some thoughts and some pastimes of Srila Prabhupada. And I am going to speak this for the purification of my own heart, and I also seek permission and blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, Iskri Dwarkadish Prabhu, and all the other devotees here, and also devotees who have joined online. So we will chant this verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, and then we will discuss in the context of Srila Prabhupada. This is from 3rd canto, 25th chapter, Glories of Devotional Service, text number 20.
Prasangam ajaram pasham atmana kavayo vidhu Saeva sadusho kruto mokshadvaram apavrutam prasangam ajaram pasham atmana kavayo vidhu Saeva sadusho kruto mokshadvaram apavrutam प्रसंगम अजरम पाशम आत्मना कवयो विधु सैव साधुशो कृतो मोक्षद्वारम अपावृतम्।
Thank you.
Matajis. Prasangam, attachment. Ajaram, strong. Pasham, entanglement. Atmanah, of the soul. Kavayah, learned men. Viduhu, no. Sa eva, that same. Sadushu, to the devotees. Kritaha, applied. Mokshadwaram, the door of liberation. Apavritam, open. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Every learned man knows very well that attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul. But that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. Purport. Here it is clearly stated that attachment for one thing is the cause of bondage in conditioned life, and the same attachment, when applied to something else, opens the door of liberation. Attachment cannot be killed. It has simply to be transferred. Attachment for material things is called material consciousness. And attachment for Krishna or his devotee is called Krishna consciousness. Consciousness, therefore, is the platform of attachment. It is clearly stated here that when we simply purify the consciousness from material consciousness to Krishna consciousness, we attain liberation. Despite this statement that one should give up attachment, desirelessness is not possible for a living entity. A living entity by constitution has the propensity to be attached to something. We see that if someone has no object of attachment, if he has no children, then he transfers his attachment to cats and dogs. This indicates that the propensity for attachment cannot be stopped. It must be utilized for the best purpose. Our attachment for material things perpetuates our conditioned state, but the same attachment, when transferred to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee, is the source of liberation. Here it is recommended that attachment should be transferred to the self-realized devotees, the sadhus. And who is a sadhu? A sadhu is not just an ordinary man with a saffron robe or long beard. A sadhu is described in Bhagavad Gita as one who unflinchingly engages in devotional service. Even though one is found not to be following the strict rules and regulations of devotional service, if one simply has unflinching faith in Krishna, the Supreme Person, he is understood to be a sadhu. Sadhureva samantavya, Bhagavad Gita 9.30. A sadhu is a strict follower of devotional service. It is recommended here that if one at all wants to realize Brahman or spiritual perfection, his attachment should be transferred to the sadhu or a devotee. Lord Chaitanya also confirmed this. Lava matra sadhu sange sarvasiddhi hoy. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila, 22nd chapter, 54th verse. Simply by a moment's association with the sadhu, one can attain perfection. Mahatma is a synonym of sadhu. It is said that service to a Mahatma or an elevated devotee of the Lord is Dwaram Ahur Vimuktehe, the royal road of liberation. Mahat Sevam Dwaram Ahur Vimukte Stamo Dwaram Yoshitam Sanghi Sangam, Srimad Bhagavatam 5.5.2. Rendering service to the materialist has the opposite effect. If anyone offers service to a gross materialist or a person engaged only in sense enjoyment, then by association with such a person, the door to hell is opened. The same principle is confirmed here. Attachment to a devotee is attachment to the service of the Lord. Because if one associates with a sadhu, the result will be that the sadhu will teach him how to become a devotee, a worshipper and a sincere servitor of the Lord. These are the gifts of a sadhu. If we want to associate with the sadhu, we cannot expect him to give us instructions on how to improve our material condition. But he will give us instructions on how to cut the knot of the contamination of material attraction and how to elevate ourselves in devotional service. That is the result of associating with the sadhu. Kapila Muni, first of all, instructs that the path of liberation begins with such association. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So this is 3rd canto, 25th chapter, text number 21. I'll read the translation again. Every learned man knows very well that the attachment for the material is the greatest entanglement of the spirit soul, but that same attachment, when applied to the self-realized devotees, opens the door of liberation. So this is going to be our discussion today on how, by being attached to Srila Prabhupada, how we can experience Krishna in our lives. So we'll just have brief introduction first. Then we will discuss Srila Prabhupada's struggles and challenges he faced in India before he went to West. And then we will discuss the struggles he faced in West. Now, the introduction, I will begin now. The introduction, I want to make this one point very clear, that we understand Srila Prabhupada is a Shaktyavesh avatar, is an empowered personality who has come to deliver all the fallen souls and take us back to Krishna. At the same time, when we read or hear his pastimes where he is struggling in this material world to give us Krishna, he is not struggling like us. And his compassion comes out. See, we are not reducing Srila Prabhupada to the human level. In fact, we are trying to connect to his compassion so that our hearts also get softened. That is the agenda, or that is the mood in which we will approach Srila Prabhupada's pastimes today. You know, I was inspired by Yogeshwar Prabhu. He is writing a book on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now here, in this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's book he is writing on, he is presenting less of the divinity of Lord Chaitanya and more of his interactions and pastimes with, you know, Swarup Damodar, Rai Ramananda, Haridas Thakur. Basically, the agenda is to churn the emotion, the heart with the, of all the emotions, spiritual emotions. So basically, divinity of Srila Prabhupada is always there. And we are surrendered to Srila Prabhupada. At the same time, when we see how he was desperate to give us Krishna and what challenges he faced and how he was unfazed, he was not affected. He was going on. So that will inspire us to also take shelter of Krishna and be steadfast in our devotional service. And why we are going to discuss this is because Krishna's pure devotee, he knows some deep secrets of Krishna. Like I once remember His Holiness Prahladananda Swami Maharaj was giving class. He looked at the deities. And then he looked at the devotees and he said, how many of you can see Radha Gopinath smiling? Raise your hand. So everybody raised their hand. So all of you can see Krishna smiling, Gopinath smiling? He said, yes, yes, yes. And then he said, how many of you know why he is smiling? Why is Gopinath smiling? How many of you know? And nobody raised their hand. How many of you know on whom he is smiling here? So he said, so then he explained this point, how Krishna is very deep. We cannot know what is Krishna thinking. See, we have struggled, we are not even able to understand what is happening in our mind. And pure devotees know what is happening in Krishna's mind. So it's a very, very different. There are different laws applicable for a pure devotee and for us, you know. So we don't know because Krishna is very deep. Rupa Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that three things of Krishna are very deep. Krishna's navel, Krishna's voice, and Krishna's intelligence. So to access Krishna's intelligence, what is Krishna's desire? What does Krishna want? Not possible for ordinary souls like us. But when we connect with Srila Prabhupada and understand how he was living in Krishna's space, then we will also be inspired to follow his footsteps and spend some time every day in Krishna's space. See, there are two spaces. One is the I space, where I live in my world. I, me and mine. These are the three most important words in our dictionary. But sometime every day, or at least sometime, we should spend in Krishna's space, where it is not about me. There is nothing about me. Like, why Krishna is stealing butter, Krishna is killing Shakrasur, Krishna is performing Damodar Leela, Govardhan Leela. If you see in these pastimes, where is I? Where is me? Whether I am alive or dead, whether I am suffering, whether I am happy, Krishna will continue to perform his pastimes. Krishna is most wonderful. Now, unfortunately, when we come to Krishna consciousness, even after many years, we want to hear practical classes. Prabhuji, today's class was very practical. Why? Because the class helped me understand my problem, solve my problem. It's all about me, which is good. We are not a Mayavadis. We want to progress in devotional service. We want to become pure. So that is good. At the same time, we also need to know that Krishna is independent of me. That is the difference between semantic religions and Gaudiya Vaishnavism. In other paths, God exists only to solve my problem. God, please give me our daily bread. That is the religion. In our path, whatever happens to me, God is wonderful. Krishna is all attractive. He is performing his pastimes. I have to tune into Krishna's energy. Krishna's space I have to enter. So therefore, to go beyond rituals, to personally experience Krishna's presence in our life, we need to spend at least some time where we are in Krishna's space. Otherwise, our bhakti will be very shallow. And Srila Prabhupada was always living in Krishna's space. What does Krishna want? What is Krishna's desire? I'm sure all of you must have experienced, even in this mundane world, material world, there is sometimes things are shallow and sometimes things are deep. And once you get a taste for something deep, then the shallow things don't attract us. I'm talking about material, even in material life. Like when I grew up here, you know, in a colony where we grew up nearby, we had a swimming pool in the colony. So when we were young boys, 9, 8, 9, 10 years old, we used to all learn swimming. And we were strictly told that only swim in the shallow waters. Because there are deep waters where only those who learn swimming, they can go there. So we would swim and within 2-3 days we learned swimming. But to go to the deep waters, we were scared. And there was a time when each person would be baptized to go to the deep waters. You had to go to the edge of that deep water and you had to jump. And then swim and everybody would clap and cheer. But that was very scary for the person who was first time going to the deep waters. You know swimming, but still deep water, what will happen? But it is exciting. We can see, you know, they are diving, somersault, back dive and going deep into the water, which is not possible in the shallow waters. So I remember how I was baptized there. I was standing on the edge of the swimming pool and talking to somebody and they were all convincing me and everybody was gathered and then somebody pushed me inside. When I fell in, and then I scrambled, I swam hurriedly and came to the shore. And then I said, wow, but it is so good. And then I could go underwater because it was exciting. And then we could dive. So many things happened. After that day, I never went to the shallow waters. What I'm saying is, even in our material life, we see that when we experience something higher, deeper, then the shallow things don't attract us. So Srila Prabhupada is living in Krishna's space. That is why he could face all the unimaginable obstacles and setbacks. If we get even one of that, we will go crazy. So that's why it's important that we read about those struggles also. Like we read about Pandavas, the setbacks they face, that inspires us. Similarly, Srila Prabhupada was living in Krishna's space. And Srila Prabhupada always glorified Krishna in the first person. See, generally, like for example, see, you know, like if we glorify Krishna, we speak about Krishna as a third person. Like I am giving a class. Krishna is wonderful, Krishna is beautiful. But if we can say that same thing in front of Krishna, to Krishna, that is first person. And Srila Prabhupada always addressed Krishna in first person. You know, there are many lectures than Prabhupada says. And you can get a glimpse of this. You know, in many lectures, Srila Prabhupada would say, so, Krishna is so nice. And when he says that, you can feel that he is experiencing Krishna's presence in his life because he is in Krishna's space. What does Krishna want? Okay, let us take a simple example. In this world, when you want to establish a relationship with someone, you claim to love someone. And when you spend time, like let's say you go to a park every day, spend time with your lover or your beloved. Do you only talk about yourself? If you love someone, with that person, do you only say, I like this, this is my ambition, this is what I want to do, this is what has happened to me, blah, blah, blah. Or do you also want to know, and do you also talk about that other person, what is he like, what is his need? That is how relationship grows, right? Relationship is two ways. So in our relationship with Krishna, how many times we come in front of Krishna and we are glorifying Krishna independent of what's happening in my life? I remember Jananivas Prabhu once gave a class. I remember Nityanand Prabhu asked this question. That, Prabhuji, you want to become pure devotee? And how can you become pure devotee? So he said, why do you want to become pure devotee? So he said, no, but our heart has to be purified. We have to go back to Krishna. He said, see, even if you are not pure devotee, whatever you are offering to Krishna, Krishna will accept. The difference is, pure devotee, when he offers to Krishna, he can see Krishna eating that offering. When you are offering to Krishna, Krishna is eating, but you cannot see Krishna eating. But then he said, what do you want? You want Krishna to eat or you want to see Krishna eating? So wherever you are, see, this is why Srila Prabhupada is very hope-giving in his presentation of Krishna consciousness. He presented Krishna as accessible to the most fallen people like hippies and others. And even us moderns, you know, we can, wherever we are, we can go to Krishna. Srila Prabhupada didn't make Krishna very esoteric and inaccessible. Like one lecture I was hearing, Srila Prabhupada said, so prayer means three things, three words. Please accept me. What a beautiful definition of prayer. We just have to come to Krishna and say, Krishna, see, this is who I am. I'm not shameless. We are not justifying our situation. We are simply telling Krishna that Prabhupada taught us to pray, please accept me. So Krishna, this is my condition, please accept me. So therefore, it is very important that we glorify Krishna, and on his appearance day today, we need to glorify Srila Prabhupada because that will also give pleasure to Krishna. There is one lecture of Srila Prabhupada, beautiful lecture, December 28, 1973, Los Angeles. That entire class is speaking on this famous Padma Puran verse where Lord Shiva is telling, Aradhanam Sarvesham Vishnur Aradhanam Param Tasmat Parataram Devi Tadiyanam Samarchanam. So in this class, Srila Prabhupada takes each word and explains, you know, how Lord will be more pleased if we serve and glorify and worship His devotees. Kintu prabhorya priya eva tasya. Of course, I want to clarify, and Srila Prabhupada also many times clarified, we worship the Guru not like Mayavadis. You know, Mayavadis, for them Guru is everything. But there is no Krishna in their life. And for Sahajiyas, Krishna is everything. There is no Guru. So Srila Prabhupada is a genius. He gave us a perfect process where Guru is everything for us because Guru connects us with Krishna. In this purport also we are reading today, Srila Prabhupada says, Guru has not come to improve our material life. He has not come to give names to our children and to attend our children's weddings. He has come to give us Krishna. And to the extent we understand that, our relationship with Guru will always be strong. But if we have some other expectation, like I remember when we were new devotees, we thought, oh, our Guru Maharaj is so nice, he embraces me, he rubs my head, he's so nice, he's so loving. And he's telling us to chant Hare Krishna. So I'll also chant Hare Krishna. That was the mood in which we were. But Guru Maharaj is thinking, okay, I'll embrace them, I'll love them, so that they will chant Hare Krishna. Eventually, after some years, there will be a conflict of interest, conflict of expectation. If I am chanting Hare Krishna because I will get embraces of my Guru, then there will be a big disappointment. Guru has come to give us Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada wanted us to be absorbed in Krishna consciousness. So we'll now, the introduction is over. I'll discuss some pastimes from Srila Prabhupada's childhood, and then we'll discuss Srila Prabhupada's pastimes in US when he went to preach. All these pastimes reveal how Srila Prabhupada is absorbed in Krishna and he wants us to take shelter of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada was born on September 1st, 1896, on the day of Janmashtami actually. The midnight Krishna appeared, the next day Nandotsav. When Nanda Maharaj is celebrating with great joy, the Vrindavan residents are celebrating, that day Srila Prabhupada appeared as a child of Gaur Mohan Day and Rajini. And he was named Abhay Charan. And they are from Gaur Mohan Day, Prabhupada of Abhay Charan, they are from very, very aristocratic Suvarna Mallik family. They were the right-hand men of the kings in medieval India. Very, very aristocratic family. And from childhood, he got Krishna. So we will call him Abhay Charan at this point of time in the pastime. And Srila Prabhupada would often say that my father was, in many lectures he says, that my father, one instruction which his father gave him when he was a child, Srila Prabhupada would quote it till the end of his life. Beautiful. He says, when Krishna... If Krishna wants to give you something, how much can you collect and take with your two hands? And if Krishna wants to take something away from you, how much can you stop with your two hands? This is powerful. And Srila Prabhupada says that his father would was a cloth merchant. He was not a wealthy man. At the same time, he was not poor, middle class, and there was no shortage of anything at home. And his cloth merchant, he would every day keep food for the rats. See, compassion. Even in his father would keep food for rats so that the rats don't spoil the cloth. So, Abhay Charan grew up watching his father perform Krishna worship. What was Gaur Mohan? Now, this is just, we are going back in time. We are going back in 1890s, how life was in Kolkata where Srila Prabhupada appeared. Interesting business. That time, how Gaur Mohan Day was doing his business, cloth merchant business. He would get up in the morning at 6 o'clock and go and collect fresh flowers for worship of Krishna. So by 7:30, he had all the ingredients for worship. And then he would do his puja till 12 o'clock. four, five hours puja, worship. And then he would take prasad. 1 o'clock, he would go to his shop. 6 a.m. to 1 p.m. was worship of Krishna. And then 1 p.m. he would go to shop and do what? He would take rest for 2 hours. I found it hilarious when I read it first time. I was thinking, wow, how life was. And then 3 o'clock he would open the shutters and the work would start, people would come, whatever, business would go on. And then 9 o'clock he would be back in the night. And when he would come back at 9 o'clock, Abhay would be fast asleep. But then Gaur Mohan would start his worship and Abhay would wake up with the sound of the bell, ding, 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 and he would wake up. And he would come running and he would sit next to Gaur Mohan Dev, who was worshipping. And after the worship, Gaur Mohan Dev would take little kurmura, puffed rice. So Abhay also would take little puffed rice and he would take rest. So in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada says, so my father's main business was puja, worship. And cloth business, he was doing little bit just to keep the family together. So you can know where this is coming from. You know, Srila Prabhupada, the samskaras he got was incredible. And, you know, the cultural aspect, you'll find many cultural aspects in Srila Prabhupada's classes. Like many classes, when we hear, we see Srila Prabhupada talking about British kings of the 18th century, 19th century. So many incidents. Like he says that, you know, his father would get dozen mangoes for 1 rupee, or how his father wanted to give him a nice shoes, so he bought for 6 rupees nice shoes from England, like that. And Gaurmohan, they taught Abhay Charan Prabhupada how to remember Krishna and how remembering Krishna is very easy. Like when Abhay Charan would fly kites with his sister, so they would pray to Krishna, "Krishna, let my kite fly higher." So you see, remembering Krishna is not something very esoteric. Even child can remember Krishna. Like in Gopal Garden, I saw some years ago, one boy was running with Jagannath deity and keeping Jagannath deity in front of him while writing exam. The teacher gives question paper, he shows question paper to Jagannath deity first, and then after writing the paper, before submitting the answer sheet to the examiner, he again shows Jagannath, dekh lena, sambhal lena. So what I'm saying is, children, so Prabhupada made Krishna consciousness and remembering Krishna so easy and accessible. And that is why, there is one pastime where his mother wanted him to go to England and become a barrister, lawyer. And Gaurmohan, they said, "No, our son will learn mridanga." And when all saintly people would come home, he would worship them, respect them, and he tell them, "Please bless my son Abhay that he becomes a devotee of Radharani." See, that desire of his father. That's why Srila Prabhupada dedicated his Krishna book to his father, saying that he was the one who planted the seed of Krishna bhakti. So like that, there are many, many beautiful pastimes in his childhood. He went to Scottish Church College. Okay, before that, at a young age, when you are 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, that age, children are exploring material energy. They want to, the teenage problems are so common. When Abhay was a teenager, when he was actually 10 years old, he was exploring relationship with Krishna, how to organize Rathyatras. He would go to the railway station, see the timetables, which trains are going to Puri, Vrindavan. And when he wanted to organize Rathyatra in his colony where they were growing up, Gaurmohan told his friends that these are children playing. But little did he know what Abhay was up to. Abhay Charan organized a massive Rathyatra program with thousands of offerings for Jagannath. It was a complete 6-day festival. And anything he wanted to do, Gaurmohan was encouraging him. Gaurmohan and his wife were telling him, "Do what you want to do, you do." Only one time they stopped him, because Abhay was reading one book to make firecrackers for Jagannath's pleasure. That time his parents stopped. "Ye mat karo, this is dangerous, you are a young boy." So the point is, you have so much eagerness to glorify Krishna. So this is not an ordinary child's story. This is extraordinary. That's why in the Adi Puran, Lord Krishna tells Arjuna, "Name bhakta jana partha, name bhaktascha te jana mad bhakta naam cha ye bhakta, teme bhakta tamomata." Uttama bhakta is he who doesn't say is my devotee. One who says he's a devotee of my devotee is actually most dear to me. So, and one thing which really fascinates me about Srila Prabhupada's childhood is he says how his father would chastise him. His father, Gaurmohan, they would tell him, when Abhay would make a mistake, Gaurmohan, they would tell him, "My dear son, you have made a mistake. Now I am going to chastise you." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's father also would correct him when he made a mistake. "So now please don't feel bad. So I am going to scold." And then he would scold him. This is amazing, because why, this shows the degree of awareness. I mean, my fascination for Gaurmohan, they just imagine, in this world, we are very impulsive, right? When you are angry, you are just impulsive. To be aware that you are angry speaks a lot about your character, your personality. So, like that, beautiful pastime. And then 1914, the First World War started, and he got admission in Scottish Church College. Subhash Chandra Bose was 1 year senior to him. And Abhay Charan specialized in English, philosophy, economics. He was also a Sanskrit society member. And now comes the best part, because now we get to get a glimpse of Srila Prabhupada's deep Krishna connection. Because when he was a young boy, he told his father that, "You are worshipping Krishna, I also want to worship Krishna." So then Gaurmohan, they brought him Radha Krishna deities, small deities. And Abhay would worship them. But now he entered college, he was part of so many societies, so many discussions. He also entered politics because he was inspired by Gandhi's movement. So he kept Radha Krishna deities packed in one box and kept in the cupboard. And that time, one day, these Radha Krishna deities appeared in Abhay's dream and said, "Abhay, why have you locked us in the cupboard? We want to be worshipped by you." And then Abhay Charan resumed the worship of Radha Krishna. And during those days, he would sit in the library in the college, and his friend Rupen would recall later that, "I always saw Abhay Charan as a very special boy. As a young man, he would sometimes look into the space. He was lost in his thoughts. And I would ask him, 'You know, you are lost in your thoughts. What are you thinking?' And Abhay Charan would tell him, 'You know, Rupen, I am not of this world. This is not me. I am meant for something else.'" So that calling was there, but it was not crystallized. It had not manifested clearly. But he was being driven by a higher power. He was now a puppet in the hands of Krishna. He was ready. And that's when Amritlal Bose, one of the most famous theater directors in Kolkata, he organized one drama on Lord Chaitanya. He made people practice for 1 year. 1 year they practiced to perform, and Abhay Charan played the role of Advaita Acharya. And when he played that role, appealing for Lord Chaitanya to descend, what a sweet irony, you know, this is what Srila Prabhupada is doing. Even when he went to West, before going he went to Advaita Acharya's place at Shantipur. So how Krishna is orchestrating his life is amazing. And that drama, when Abhay Charan acted as Advaita Acharya, the whole audience was crying, seeing his moving appeals for Lord Chaitanya to descend. So then of course a lot of things happened on the Indian political side. Jallianwala Bagh incident happened, the Rowlatt Act was passed by the British. And Abhay began to think that independence will solve problem. If we get independence from British, our problems will be solved. And Gaur Mohan Dev became little pensive and thoughtful because he didn't want his son to be a political activist. So he got him married to one very nice girl from a good family named Radha Rani. And Abhay's action concerned his father because Abhay cleared his graduation honors with first class, but he didn't go for the convocation. He didn't collect the degree. He boycotted it because it was British college. So Abhay Charan's father, Gorman, said that my son is, this is not what I expect him. So he got him a job with Dr. Bose, who was a friend of Gorman Dev. And Dr. Bose appointed Abhay as the agent for the entire North India for his company. He had Bose Laboratories. So he was earning good. He was married. He had a child now. And then the first child was already there. The second child was expected. And that time, an interesting incident happened in Abhay Charan's life, which now turns the whole pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, as we know, in a very, very different direction. One day, his friend Narendranath Malik told him that, "Abhay, I want you to meet a very nice person, sadhu. And his name is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Srila Prabhupada. Please come." And Abhay immediately dismissed. Because he had seen in childhood many sadhus and many pseudo sadhus also he had seen. So he said, "I have nothing to do with them." But this is very interesting. Srila Prabhupada, as a young boy, as a young man, as Abhay Charan, was so influential amongst his friends that they all liked Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, but they wanted Abhay Charan's approval. Because Prabhupada says in one lecture, "So when I was a young boy, I was called as Hukum Chalega." He is a person whose order will be followed. So Naren was very desperate that Abhay Charan approves of this saintly person. So he was dragging him. And Abhay said, no, I am not coming. And they were pulling, pushing. So passers-by people started watching. They knew that they are friends, but some altercation they are having. But finally Naren won. He said, "No, you should come." So they went upstairs, Bhakti Vinod Asan at Ulta Danga Road. And there, now Abhay Charan was trained in samskaras, how to respect saintly people, so he offered obeisances. And when he got up, he had not even seen Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. He had not even gathered the first impression. And Bhakti Siddhanta Thakur orders him, "You are a young, educated English, you know English language, you should spread the message of Lord Chaitanya in the English speaking world." And Abhay was shocked. He said, "I don't even know him and he's ordering me." He was impressed. But he didn't want to let go of his intellectual skepticism because he was educated in a British college. He was trained to debate. So he started challenging. He said, who will accept your spreading of Lord Chaitanya's message when our country is a dependent nation? We have to get independence first. And what Abhay Charan spoke that time in that meeting to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, that statement, the whole of the world of India outside that rooftop of Ulta Danga Road would have agreed with Abhay Charan. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur dismissed it. He dismissed all philosophies which were less than pure devotional service as if they were of no consequence. And Abhay Charan was debating for 2 hours. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur smashed everything. He said, Krishna consciousness is an emergency. It cannot wait for independence. And this sentence of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur had such an impact on Srila Prabhupada's life that later on, when his life was in complete shambles, he was only focused on Krishna consciousness spreading as an emergency. The government was not releasing paper during the Second World War for Back to Godhead publication. And Srila Prabhupada is saying, this is an emergency. The World War is not an emergency. Can you imagine? World War is overwhelming. But look at Srila Prabhupada's consciousness that he is convinced that this is an emergency. And he's writing articles on how paper has to be given for Krishna conscious spreading. And this was Srila Prabhupada's mood when he went to America. Now imagine, hippies are sitting in the class and they are being drafted into the Vietnam War. And these young boys are rebelling against war. They don't want to fight the war. Because they are against the government's action. We are not going to be drafted. War is bad. And Srila Prabhupada is giving a class to these young boys and girls, hippies. And what class he is giving? He is saying, so Krishna is telling Arjuna to fight the war. Arjuna doesn't want to fight. But when Krishna says you have to fight, you have to fight. So these boys and girls are disturbed because they are living in I space. I'm coming back to the point we discussed in the beginning. There is Krishna space. Prabhupada was in Krishna space. So they couldn't understand. They said, Swamiji, what about the Vietnam War? This is the reality. So Srila Prabhupada said, this war will be over after some time. But your journey in material world will continue. You have to get out of the material world. So many of them wanted Prabhupada to address the Vietnam War. But Srila Prabhupada was challenging them, pushing them to transcend that. So some of them were saying, if you cannot address Vietnam War, what is your relevance? But Srila Prabhupada was not the one to compromise. He was pushing them. In 1971, India-Pakistan War, this lady reporter is interviewing Srila Prabhupada in Delhi. And suddenly there is a blackout. General Yahya Khan has declared war. And there is sirens are blowing. And it's a very tense atmosphere. For this lady, while interviewing Prabhupada, she got panicky. She said, Swamiji, somebody has to go and tell Yahya Khan to stop the war. This is dangerous. We are all going to die. And Srila Prabhupada very gravely, so if Yahya Khan doesn't kill you, you will never die? What a question to ask somebody who is thinking that this war is the only reality. Srila Prabhupada said, don't flatter Yahya Khan, glorify Krishna. This is amazing. You know, this is what Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur, this is the impact he had. Krishna consciousness is an emergency. And then after that discussion, when he came, they gave little prasad and Narendranath Malik and Abhay Charan came down. And Naren asked Abhay Charan, what do you think of this personality? Abhay said, he's such a nice, saintly person. And then Prabhupada later on recalls that, I got a feeling that, you know, I am married now. I have 2 children. Second child is about to take birth. And now, if I was not a grihastha, if I had not married, I could have joined and I could have served him. I could have served this nice, saintly person full time. But I will take, Abhay Charan was very responsible grihastha. He said, I will take full responsibility of my family. And Dr. Bose asked him, why don't you shift to Prayag? And from there you can manage the entire North India better. So in his heart he carried the impression of Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur. This is 1922, exactly 100 years ago, was when Prabhupada met his Guru Maharaj. So from 1922 he went to Prayag. The next 6 years, in Prayag, he started his Prayag pharmacy, and he and Dr. Ghosh, they would have agreement, you know. He would treat patients, and he would give prescriptions, and Abhay would give medicines, and Abhay also was going to the entire North India and supplying medicines of Dr. Bose and collecting the money like that. He was the agent. And he was doing very well. Some of the most influential people from Prayag, like Motilal Nehru, Jawaharlal Nehru, would also visit him. He was doing really well. And he went on to become wealthy. In fact, at that time, there were two very luxurious cars. I don't remember the name of that model. Only two people in Prayag had that car. The governor and Abhay Charan. So they were doing very well. And this is 1928. So 6 years passed. Abhay was carrying his Guru Maharaj's interaction in his heart. Life was going on nicely. Successful business. Happy family. Two children. Third children was born. Third child was also born that time. Mathura Mohan. Second was Prayagraj. First was Sulakshana. So now, 1928, one day when he was in his pharmacy shop, was sitting, Bhakti Pradeep Tirth Maharaj and Atulanand Brahmachari came to his shop. And Abhay Charan said, "You are the Gaudiya Math people. I had seen all of you 1922, 6 years ago in Kolkata." He said, "Yes." So then they told him about Bhaktivedanta Thakur's mission. And they said, "We want to start a temple here." So then Abhay Charan started helping them. He contacted all his people whom he knew and collected funds and donations for making the temple. And he would go with Bhakti Pradeep Tirth Maharaj for fund collection. And they would give class and he would solicit for funds. And he would also preach. He would come to the center where they were trying to make a temple. He would lead kirtans and give classes. And they all knew that this person is very, Abhay Babu is very special. He was known as Abhay Babu amongst all his friends. Even after initiation, many of his godbrothers would call him Abhay Babu. So like this, 4 years passed. The temple was about almost built. And Bhaktivedanta Thakur is going to come and inaugurate it. At that time, November 1932 he came. But October 1932, Kartik month, Abhay Charan said, "Let me go to Vrindavan and take darshan of Bhaktivedanta Thakur Prabhupada, who is there for a yatra." So there was an announcement made that Bhaktivedanta Thakur will be giving class here. And devotees will also be going to Sheshachayi temple for darshan. So this is a Koshi. So Abhay Charan thought, "What I will do by taking darshan? Let me hear from my Guru Maharaj." And that was a 5-hour class. It went on. And different devotees were there in the class. They got up and they had to leave for other services. But Abhay was attentively hearing. In many classes, Prabhupada says that when my Guru Maharaj used to speak, many things I was not understanding at that time. It was technical, but I had faith. And I kept hearing. And then that yatra over, and then he came to Prayag. And November 1932, when Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur came there, Bhakti Pradeep Tirth Maharaj and Atulanand Brahmachari introduced Abhay Charan to Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, saying that this is Abhay Babu. He is the one who has helped us make this temple. He is the greatest fundraiser. He has collected maximum donations. He is the one who has made this temple, and he wants initiation tomorrow. Will you please give him diksha tomorrow? And Bhaktivedanta Thakur's response was, "Yes, I know him. He loves to hear. He doesn't leave." Bhaktivedanta Thakur didn't acknowledge his fundraising capabilities. He acknowledged his taste for hearing. But that doesn't mean fundraising is not important. That is also Krishna Seva only. But the point is, the foundation is hearing. And Bhaktivedanta Thakur immediately acknowledged, recognized that. And during initiation, he gave him the name Abhay Charanaravinda Das, and then also instructed him to read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And now the whole life of Srila Prabhupada changes. Abhay Charan's life now goes through a roller coaster. He's initiated. His wife refuses to be connected spiritually through initiation. And Abhay Charan is disappointed. But now, as an initiated disciple of Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, he is having renewed enthusiasm to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya. But he's a responsible grihastha, remember, at this point of time. And Krishna's plans are now unfolding in ways which are inconceivable to material mind and intelligence. Inexplicably, Dr. Bose starts getting complaints about Abhay Charan's default. He's not able to collect and the default has gone up to 10,000 rupees, which is a big amount. So Dr. Bose starts investigating. And he comes to the conclusion that Abhay Charan is innocent. But he can't give credit anymore. So he says, sorry. So Abhay Charan, overnight, he doesn't have anything. He has nothing. Means he has to leave everything. Of course, he has his savings and all that. But that stable job which he had is no longer there. But his first sincere attempt for financial stability to take care of his family, dedication to his family, it comes crumbling down because he doesn't have anything now. He has to start a new career, new business, new job. And Atulan Brahmachari says, see, this is Krishna's arrangement, Abhay Babu. So why don't you just join us full time? He says, no man, I have 3 children. I have a family responsibility. I can't live like this. Let me go to Bombay. So Abhay Charan came to Bombay. He came to Gwalia Tank, very close by. He joined Smithsonian Laboratories. And there, again, inconceivably, from day one, politics started. Because they knew that Abhay Charan is very capable. So his senior managers complained to the directors. And again, he was without Smithson job. And then he had to start his own business in Bombay. So he would come to Grand Road area many times. There was a Gaudiya Mutt here near August Kanti Maidan in front of. When we go for walking there, I wonder, you know, where it is. One day it will be revealed. So Abhay Charan was traveling in this area a lot, trying to establish business in Bombay. This is the second sincere attempt to have financial stability, to take care of his 3 children, his wife, his family, and also use that money for preaching. But although his business is collapsing and is facing struggle, there is not even little bit diminishment in his preaching effort. That is what is inconceivable. See, this is how a pure devotee is thinking is completely different from us. See, that's why the rules are also different. The laws of life for us are different than the laws that are applicable for a pure devotee. He is under Krishna's internal energy, internal potency. When we are driving our car, at the red signal, we have to stop the car. But we can't say, oh, the helicopter is flying, it is not stopping. No, the helicopter has different law. We have different law. So in this world, we go through different laws. But pure devotees are completely controlled by Krishna. So this business laws doesn't make any sense. And he is now preaching more. And that is the first time Abhay Charan came across this verse from the 10th canto. Esya manugraha nami arishetadhanam shanai. He showed it to Bhakti Pradip Tirth Maharaj and Bhakti Rakshak Shridhar Maharaj. This verse I saw, is this connected to me in any way? Is my life connected to this verse? Is this hinting at what's happening in my life? And Bhakti Rakshak Shridhar Maharaj said, 100% applicable to you. It is, you are a specially chosen person. But he continued making his business strong. And in the next 4 years, 12 times he met his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur. And on one birthday, one appearance day of Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur, he wrote this poem where that stanza, absolute is sentient, thou has proved impersonal calamity, thou has removed. It made Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur so happy that he declared that anything Abhay Charan writes, publish it. And meanwhile, devotees went to Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur and said, Abhay Babu's business has collapsed. Abhay Babu is struggling anyway. And he is doing everything in our Bombay temple. He only has made the Bombay temple strong. He is getting all the funds. He is doing all the preaching. He is doing everything here anyways. So why don't you tell him to become the temple president here and take over? And we will assist him. And Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur gave this prophetic words he spoke. He said, no. When the time comes, he will do everything. But not now. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai. And then January 1937, we know, Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur left this world. And that is the time Prabhupada's, Abhay Charan's Bombay business completely collapsed. He had nothing now in Bombay. So, but he was not the one to give up. So what he did? Jai Shri Shraddha Gopinath Bhagwan ki jai. So 1938, now where was the first, what was the first business venture he had? At Prayagraj. Second, Bombay. Third, he made a major, major investment. This is his third innings to earn money so that he can preach more. And where? He made a major investment in Kolkata. Made a big company, big factory for producing medicines. And the problem started from first day. First his family objected, family was not happy with some things. Then for his preaching efforts he was not getting paper. Meanwhile India got independence and Gaudiya Math completely collapsed. His business was facing losses. And somehow Srila Prabhupada says that from 1938 to 1944, 6 years, he was pushing this Kolkata business like anything. But finally that also collapsed. And during this period, something very interesting happened. Abhay Charan had written Bhagavad Gita per commentary, Gita Upanishad. It took him 12 years to write the commentary on Gita. And yet, that time they didn't have soft copy, they didn't have Xerox copies. He had kept that only one manuscript. He had kept it in his cupboard. And was looking for a sponsor. So one doctor, Alagappa from the South India, was known as Birla of South. He said, I will publish. You get the manuscript. So Abhay Charan became so happy. My 12 years of work is now going to see print. Commentary on Bhagavad Gita. So he came rushing and he opened his cupboard and that manuscript is missing. I mean, if it were to happen to any one of us, we would feel so discouraged. And what is Abhay Charan's response? Next day morning he continues writing commentary on Bhagavad Gita. Because he was not the one to be discouraged by anything. He was disappointed sometimes, but not discouraged. And when Kolkata business collapsed in 1944, which was his third sincere attempt, that is the first time Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared in his dream and said, Abhay Charan, take sannyas. And Srila Prabhupada says that I woke up with the start. Sannyas! No, I can't take sannyas. I have a family, I have responsibility. I can't do this. And later on in 1970s, in one lecture, Srila Prabhupada says, so that time my Guru Maharaj came and told me to take sannyas. I couldn't take sannyas because I was in Maya. If this is Maya, thinking of preaching all the time and remembering Krishna, there is one letter Srila Prabhupada writes to Tamal Krishna Maharaj. Tamal Krishna Maharaj asks Srila Prabhupada that, you know, about his past life and all of that. And Srila Prabhupada writes, there was never a moment in my life when I did not remember Krishna. And such a person is saying, look at his humility. He says, I couldn't take sannyas. I didn't have the courage to take sannyas. I had responsibility. So after three business collapses, and Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur coming in his dream and telling him to take sannyas, he is not able to take. And look at how Krishna orchestrates his life. He starts a fourth attempt at business. And this time, first was Prayag, second, Bombay, third, Kolkata, fourth, in Lucknow. And what he does in Lucknow, he gets 40,000 rupees investment. Now, 40,000 during those years was like thousands of crores now. Huge amount of money. He invests all of that and starts a company in Lucknow. And during this time, this is 46, 47, 48, like that, it has started. And India has got independence. Although Lucknow business is going on, Abhay Charan starts writing letters to President of India, Prime Minister, Education Minister, Finance Minister, telling them to chant Hare Krishna and do Sankirtan. And he doesn't get reply from anyone. And then he sees in newspaper one advertisement. Ford Company, Ford Motors in Detroit, they are having a meeting on discussing on how to improve the motivational levels of their employees. One small news column is there. He sees that. And Abhay Charan writes a long letter to the director of Ford Company saying that I know how to improve the motivational levels of your employees. You should all come together and do Sankirtan. And with such earnestness and such conviction, telling them about this, it's like amazing. So this is his fourth attempt at business in Lucknow. And you can see that Srila Prabhupada's life was controlled by not Rahu or Shani, which happens to most of us. Krishna Graha Grihitatma, Prahlad Maharaj says. Krishna Graha had completely taken over Srila Prabhupada's life. And business is going down, down, down. And he comes to his house, he sees his wife, he is not helping in preaching, she is busy drinking tea. And Abhay Charan tells his wife, "You like me more or you like tea?" She says, "I like tea." Actually, this is a, we should thank Srila Prabhupada's previous ashram wife. Because of her drinking tea, we have given up tea. Amara chai pina chhud gaya. So, it's a pastime, Krishna's special arrangement. But Srila Prabhupada is not the one to give up. He said, "I will take care of my family. I will do everything I can." 4 times complete collapse. He starts a 5th attempt to make financial, get financial stability. And this is he starts a company in Prayag. And he has to take a loan of 7,000 rupees because his shortage of funds. 7,000 rupees loan is a big thing. And during this time, now this is his 5th attempt, okay. Now generally after first, there was some time back, one rich wealthy man in India got some loss. He went to Worli, sea face, he committed suicide there. People can't handle, you know, the pressure and the trauma of this material world. And here one after another, losses. So 4 times he has faced losses. Now the 5th one in Prayag, he has started with a loan of 7,000 rupees plus his own earlier, whatever remaining investment. And during this time, he was in Jhansi on a business trip. There he gets excited about preaching because Reva Shankar Bayal and Prabhakar Mishra encourage him. And they tell him this Bharati Vidya Bhavan building is yours only. You can preach. So he gets excited and he starts making prospectus for League of Devotees. Starts getting all the important people. He spends 10,000 rupees on establishing League of Devotees. This is incredible. Look at his passion for preaching. When financially is not, you know, anybody with material logic would say, first let me make business proper. But that was not, his heart was in preaching. And then Reva Shankar Bayal and Prabhakar Mishra just backed out. They said this building, you know, governor's wife, Mrs. Munshi, she wants to use it for Mahila Samaj. But Abhay Charan said, "But I got permission first, I got it first. You promised me first, how you can give? I have spent so much money." And then back and forth, so many letters Abhay Charan writes to Mrs. Munshi. But Mrs. Munshi wanted for Mahila Samaj, and Reva Shankar Bayal had some theatres also. So she put pressure on him that if you want your license to be renewed, then you give this building for Mahila Samaj. So, you know, politics, this is how it happens. And there are 2 women who actually were instrumental in this. Lilamrut mentions their names as Chandramukhi and Jwalamukhi. Not Jwalamukhi, sorry, Suryamukhi. Chandramukhi and Suryamukhi. They were the 2 women who convinced Mrs. Governor to not give that building. So this is amazing that there is business losses happening. He is focused on preaching in Jhansi, and then his servant writes a letter to Abhay Charan saying that your factory in Prayag, this is his 5th attempt at business, that factory has been burglarized. Everything has gone. Even bench chair has been taken away. This is the height of losses. Pehle to losses ho raha tha. Equipment, saman, kursi, urse, sab uda ke leke gaye log. And this is the time when Srila Prabhupada says, I laughed first time, remembering the verse, Esyam anugrahanami harishyata dhanam. And then Srila Prabhupada says, I remembered this verse and I laughed. But look at his dedication to his family and the cause of Bhaktisiddhanta Thakur's mission. He made a 6th attempt at business. And this time in Kolkata, he launched a company called Vimla Tone Laboratories. Pura banayak. List kya usko stock exchange mein. Chalu kiya. And again, inconceivable. Losses, losses, losses. Doesn't make any sense. And at that time, his only shelter was Srimad Bhagavatam. And preaching. And when he comes home one day, he finds his wife has sold Bhagavatam for tea biscuits. He's so disturbed that he just walks out of the house saying that I'm leaving. And when he left, he didn't have any money in his pocket. And his wife thought, my husband is anyway traveling all the time. He's going for his business. All the while he's traveling in North India. Neighbors thought, Abhay Babu to ghumte rehte hain. Abhay Babu is gone. Children thought, father has just left. But little did they know, this is 1951. Abhay Charan has left for good. In that frenzy, in that spiritual frenzy, that emotions that were so volatile in his heart, he came out, he realized, hey, he has nothing, but I can't go back now. So he went to his friend's house, took 10 rupees, requested him to give him 10 rupees, and then he took that money and went to Jajigram, where his friend Paramahamsa Maharaj had a mutt. And there Abhay goes there, Abhay Charan stays in that mutt from morning to night, he's only chanting japa. Because he is going through turbulent spiritual emotions. He has no financial support, no family support, nothing. He has nothing with him. And at one time, he was one of the wealthiest men in Prayag. And now, he doesn't have money. Basic money also he doesn't have. But he is not thinking, I don't have anything. He is thinking how to preach. So he requests, Paramahamsa Maharaj writes a letter to him saying that, I need one dhoti kurta for preaching. Somebody who had such a big car in Prayag few years back, today he doesn't have money for dhoti kurta. So then that is sanctioned by the finance person and he gets dhoti kurta for preaching. And then what did he do with that one new pair of dhoti kurta he got? He went to Jhansi again, trying to revive the preaching there and trying to get some inroads. So like this you see, 6 times business collapses. But none of the time he thought of reducing his preaching. He was married to his wife for 36 years and he had 8 children, out of which 3 died at childbirth, which was common during those days. And out of the 5 children, the oldest one was Sulakshana, who was born in 1921. And she, after marriage, she had nothing to do with Prabhupada's family. She was busy in her own life. She kind of disconnected. Then the second child, Prayagraj, was born in 1924, became mentally unstable. So much so that Prabhupada, in all his sincerity, as a grihastha responsible parent, he got him treated in the most expensive British wing of a psychiatric hospital in Kolkata, with all the medicines and the best doctors. The treatment seemed to work for some time, but Prayagraj went back to his mentally unstable. He was helpless actually. And then he ran away from home. He could not be traced anywhere. He was eating from the dustbin, he was living in the streets of Kolkata. And when once Prabhupada came to know, he was crying that his son has just lost, he's just not there. Third son, Mathura Mohan, he was born in 1932 and he was 19 years old when Abhay Charan left home. He was so angry with his father that you have left us. So he decided to completely, he became very resentful of Prabhupada, his father. And he broke off all contact with him. And the fourth one was a daughter named Bhakti Lata. She was around 13 or 14 when Abhay Charan left home. And she also became very angry. She decided never to get married. And then she moved in later to our younger brother, which is the youngest son of Abhay Charan, Vrindavan Chandra. He was the only one out of the 8 children who supported and appreciated what his father was doing. So you can imagine for a parent, how much pain it would be. But still, Srila Prabhupada was so gracious. If you read Kamal Krishna Mara's book, Prabhupada's Final Days, at least 50 times you will find reference where Srila Prabhupada is saying how he should keep monthly stipend for his family, for his wife and children. He's making pension, monthly pension he arranged for his family. So he's having nothing right now. We are talking about 1954, 1953. Abhay Charan, his family is not there, financial support is not there. And what does he do? He is going in the streets, distributing back to Godhead. He gets a sunstroke, he falls, somebody takes care of him. And the publisher is thinking, this Abhay Babu has not taken breakfast for 3 days. And he tells him, you should take breakfast. He says, but get the BTG published. Get the Back to Godhead published. And Srila Prabhupada says that 1954 was the most intense and lonely phase of his life. And he approached that time Sumati Murarji for sponsoring Bhagavatam. And she was busy, so he had to wait for 5 hours to get her audience. But in all this, he was thinking of how to save the world. That is the most amazing thing. And you know, when he would go out and distribute back to Godhead, now he would get very negative experiences. Now generally when we get negative experiences, we get discouraged. Now Abhay Charan, when he would get discouraged by the negative experience while preaching and distributing back to Godhead, he would come back to his room and he would transform that experience into an article for back to Godhead. Like one day he was distributing back to Godhead, so one man said, "Oh, this is all nonsense, waste of time, and we don't have time to read all this." He insulted Abhay Charan. So Abhay Charan quietly came back to his room and he wrote an article that day. You can see in the old BTG, it is there. Modern man - no time disease. That article was a result of this experience. Next day he met someone in a tea stall. He was distributing back to Godhead. So those people said, "What is this God, God? We are not. Have you seen God? Nobody can see God." So he came back home and he wrote an article called "Eyes to See God." So every experience he was transforming, he was putting it in writing. There is one lecture of Srila Prabhupada, August 14, 1972 in Los Angeles. There, that whole lecture Prabhupada says, is a lecture on Brahma Samhita verse. He says, "So all of you, you must write." At one point of time in the class he says, "Write, write, write." 4 times he says, "Just write. Write 2 lines. Write 3 lines. You are doing hearing all the time. Shravanam is very good. But you write, that becomes smaranam." So Srila Prabhupada is saying this because he has done it. He used to write. So like that. But the best part or the worst part, the way we see it, you know, it's Krishna's amazing arrangement that even in preaching he was failing, not just business. And in that period he writes one very touching, heart-touching letter to Dr. Rajendra Prasad, who is the president of India. He says, "Please don't think I am a madman. I have a clue on going back to Godhead and I am crying alone here in wilderness." And although he has nothing, he is making plans. So we need, the publisher says, "Kitna chapna hai back to Godhead?" He says, "Actually, you know, we need 10,000 copies for USA and 15,000 for China. 5,000 we have to distribute in Belgium." He is giving whole plan. Here he has nothing. No house, no finance. But he is thinking how Krishna consciousness will spread all over the world. And then he writes a letter to Mahatma Gandhi in 1947 December that you will leave politics, study Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise you will meet an inglorious end. December 1947 he writes this letter. And 1948 January Gandhi is assassinated. See, pure devotees appeal and compassion. In fact, once Srila Prabhupada's devotees, one devotee, all devotees are sitting, some 2 devotees are doing Chamar Seva of Prabhupada. The class was going on. One devotee said, "Prabhupada mentioned something about Gandhi in the class." So the devotee said, "Prabhupada, you are greater than Gandhi." So Prabhupada said, "Why you are saying that?" So he said, "Prabhupada, Gandhi drove away British from India. But you brought British to India and made them surrender to Krishna." So then Prabhupada laughed. Everybody laughed. And then Prabhupada looked. The 2 brahmacharis were fanning him. They were both British. And Prabhupada said, "See, look at them. I'm not even paying them any money." So this time, we are going back to the past time. 1954, 55, 56. Staying at Radha Damodar temple. Trying to write Bhagavatam, preach. There he wrote Vira Ashtakam from, he was feeling separation from Guru. He wrote one bhajan, one poem called Vrindavan Bhajan. I'll just read one stanza from that, 2 stanzas from that bhajan. This is his most, he says, most lonely phase of his life. And he says, "I am sitting alone in Vrindavan Dham. In this mood I am getting many realizations. I have my wife, sons, daughters, grandsons, everything. But I have no money. So they are a fruitless glory." When you have money, see, when you have money, people will ask you, "How are you?" When you have no money, they will ask, "Who are you?" So, Prabhupada is getting this realization. Paisa nahi hai. So, it's all. And then he says, Krishna has shown me the naked form of material nature. By his strength, it has become tasteless to me today. And then again he quotes, Esyam Anugrahanami. And then he writes, everyone has abandoned me. My wife, relatives, friends, brothers, everyone. This is misery. But I laugh. I sit alone and laugh. Because I realize that in this Maya Samsar, nobody loves. Where have my loving father gone? Where is my mother gone now? Where are my elders? Who are my own folk? Who will give me news of them? Tell me who will give me their news. All that is left of my family is names. And then, of course, this is not a negative poem. He glorifies Krishna. He says how, when we are connected to Krishna, we are all relatives. So he says how, when we forget Krishna, then there is suffering. So like that, it's a glorification of Krishna only. But we are focusing on, remember we began the class by saying, we are focusing on the challenges and struggles that Srila Prabhupada faced. And it was a reality. There was nobody with him. And finally, after 43 years, after Bhaktivedanta Thakur first time instructed him, he gets a chance to go to America. Agarwal from Mathura, he said, my son is in Butler, Pennsylvania, America, Gopal Agarwal, who is married to an American lady, Sally. And he gives many sponsor letters for Indian sadhus who want to go to America. Nobody, and many sponsor letters he sent, but no sadhu ever used it. And Prabhupada came to know from this Mr. Agarwal. He said, yeah, you give me the sponsor details, contacts. Prabhupada got his passport done, visa done, and he convinced Sumati Morarji to give him a free passage in her cargo ship. And Gopal Agarwal was shocked. His wife Sally was shocked. This Swamiji is actually coming. And just to convince them, assure them that he's coming, he sent his own photograph also by mail, that you see my photograph so that you know. And Sally Agarwal, she realized that, oh, this can be a little embarrassing for us. So immediately she gave that photo in the local newspaper there, saying that this is an ambassador of Bhakti Yoga who is coming. Gopal Agarwal was the only Indian there in that town. So, how will they explain Prabhupada to them? So, he comes to America. Actually, before going to America, he would take a train from Andheri to Grant Road, Universal Book House, his Bhagavatam was here. He would come to see if anybody is buying those Bhagavatam sets. Then he would go to Jain College, because Jain College library, Bhagavatam sets were there. So, he wanted to see if books are being read. He would come and see the catalog, anybody issuing the book. And then he would come back to Andheri station. From there, he would walk up to Sumati Morarji's India Steamship Colony. Because from there, he was staying there. And then from there, he had to go to America. Then he was planning to go. And that time, Mr. Chokshi, Sumati Morarji's secretary, would make fun of Prabhupada. Swamiji, I know why you are desperate to go to America. You know, you are an old man. And old people, before dying, they want to see America. And Prabhupada also would laugh with him. See, he couldn't. They were joking with Prabhupada, but Prabhupada's compassion and vision was completely different. When he's landing in Boston Harbor, and that ship is coming, you know, Prabhupada writes there in that poem that, see, that they're all dazzling buildings. It's early morning, around 4 o'clock. So all the buildings are there, light, you know, all those. And it's a sadhu coming from Vrindavan, first time America. And we say this verse, Yanisha Sarva Bhutanam, what is night? And you can see the best example here. Prabhupada is seeing dazzling light and, you know, all that buildings here in America. And he writes, I see darkness all around. It's amazing. It's pure devotee can see darkness when there is all light. And he can see light when there is darkness. So like this, Mr. Chokshi couldn't understand that. Anyway, so Srila Prabhupada comes to America. Now before, I'll speak up briefly about what happened in America in the initial time. But before that, there is one article by Harvey Cox, who was a professor, was a secular, not a Hare Krishna fellow. He says that Srila Prabhupada's success in US, America, what he preached is materially illogical. It doesn't make any sense. If you see logically points, if you make, there are some 10-15 points that come, which proves that success percentage of Prabhupada in America would be 0%. and says, with all this, still is successful means, now this is Dr. Harvey Cox writing, that this means that there is something called a spiritual potency. He is also realizing, kuch to hai, nahi to aisa kaise ho sakta hai? Because first of all, let's say the first thing that which makes it impossible for Prabhupada to succeed is an old man who is going to America with a vague mission. Prabhupada himself said, I used to loiter around in America aimlessly. Prabhupada says in one lecture that, I used to loiter in the streets of New York aimlessly. Out of his humility, he is saying that, of course. At the same time, he didn't have a vision. He didn't say that, okay, I will do Journey of Self-Discovery course first, then we will do Advanced Gita course, then we will have, you know, we'll make them come to two rounds. Then he had no proper, in fact, he had only 3-month visa. And first 1 month went in Butler, Pennsylvania, in that middle class family there, living there in YMCA building and all that. 1 month went to Dr. Mishra. So he had no plan. And then when he leaves Dr. Mishra's studio, says, I'm taking one room, number 307, I'm going to pay some $100 every month rent. So Dr. Mishra is shocked. He says, Arey Swamiji, how will you do it? Where is your money? You don't have any money. You know, Prabhupada went to America with only 40 rupees. And he said that was enough, that was only enough for few hours of spending. And he said that also he didn't spend it. He kept that money. And when he came back from America in 1969, he used that money for the taxi fare from airport to Chippewada, where he was staying. Very meticulous. So there, he's leaving Dr. Mishra's studio. Dr. Mishra is shocked. You have 1 month left and now you're leaving. Where are you going to stay? What is this room number 307? Where will you get the rent? For $100, how will you get every month? Because Srila Prabhupada, that time fasting, he was eating once in 2 days. Because one chili, one mirchi also was costing some 5 pence or 6 pence. So he was calculating everything, writing it down in the diary. And he told Dr. Mishra, no, I will get money. I will sell my Bhagavatam and I will get money. With so much dependence on Krishna, so much uncertainty. You know, modern generation, we are scared of uncertainty. We think everything has to be there, clear. Clarity is our biggest need. But a pure devotee has placed his life in the hands of Krishna. He is allowing Krishna to unfold his plans. So he has no mission, very abstract. This is first challenge, which makes it logically impossible for Prabhupada to succeed in America. Second, he has no prior knowledge of America. He doesn't know America ka matlab kya karna hai udhar, kya, you know, he doesn't know the details of. He has knowledge of Krishna, but no knowledge of America. Third, he has no support system in America. You know, it's not that, you know, people are waiting for him with great excitement. Oh, Swamiji is coming from India. He didn't have a base there. Hum jaate hain base mein, fir wahan pe baith ke preaching karte hain. Fourth, he didn't have money. Fifth, no strategy, no prospectus, no plan of action. There are more reasons. One is, where did he go to preach in America? Now, just like we discussed 6 business losses in India, there are 6 residences that Srila Prabhupada had in America before he established ISKCON. First was Butler, Pennsylvania. Then Dr. Ramurti Mishra. Then he takes a big risk and goes to room number 307 and is struggling there to preach. And young boys are coming, but mainly lectures he's giving to old people. And then suddenly his tape recorder is stolen there, because he used to give lecture and record it on the tape recorder. And then he says, let me go to Bauri. Now it is crazy. It's like, you know, somebody saying, you know, I'm staying in Himalayas. There is a lot of Rajogun here. Let me go to Bombay. You know, it's like somebody going to Las Vegas from a village saying that, you know, I want to be peaceful. You can't go to Las Vegas and get peace. Similarly, the place that Prabhupada was staying was so horrible, and he moves into Bauri for preaching. And there what happens, there different boys are coming, and one boy comes, he's a crazy fellow. He attacks Srila Prabhupada, and Srila Prabhupada has to run for his life. He comes out of the building and there's nothing there. And then one man, Carl, who was also coming for his program a little bit. So Carl tells him, you come and stay with me in my room. It's a small room where Carl and his girlfriend are doing everything there. They're fighting, they're having sex. And the small corner, Prabhupada is staying there with 5 cats also. And that Eva, Carl's girlfriend, she's always suspicious of this Swamiji. He will take my man away from me. So then This is the fifth clip. And then finally, 22nd Avenue, which Mukunda Maharaj, Michael Grant gets in. So like that, that's when ISKCON was established. But the journey of challenges, going to Bauri, and the time he went, what is the time in history when he went to America? It was the time of counterculture movement where the hippies wanted to break cultural norms. And they said, we cannot trust anyone who is above 30 years of age. And here is Swamiji, who is 71. More than double. And it is like, you know, it is like you going to a cyclone zone. It's like tsunami is happening and you're going there and making a castle. It doesn't make sense. It was completely illogical, and there Srila Prabhupada is preaching. And what does he preach? He says, no intoxication, no illicit sex. Exactly what these people were doing, Srila Prabhupada. And he's preaching about purity of mind, Krishna Bhakti. And so this is 1896 he is born, and he's going in 1966. Look at the generation gap. See, now, right now we have videos and we have testimonials of senior devotees who will prove that all this happened. But if God forbid, if because of some calamity something happens that all the data is lost and only one book, Prabhupada Lilamrita, is remaining, and 500 years later when people read this, it will be very difficult for them to believe that something like this happened. It's like, you know, many atheistic people, when you tell them about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going to Jharkhand and making tigers and elephants dance, these atheistic people with no faith, they say, hey, this is all mythology. So 500 years from now, we should not be surprised if people say this is mythology. Because it's too good to be true. It cannot be materially possible. And when he's on this cargo ship, he's going in Jalduta, within 3-4 days, he starts getting seasickness, vomiting, then heart attack. Intense heart attack. And he thinks he's going to die. And that moment, Krishna appears in a vision, in a boat. Krishna is riding a boat. And Krishna tells Abhay Charan, Abhay, join me in the boat. And then Prabhupada wakes up, he says, my pain disappeared. That chest pain. But different kind of pain started. He says, pain of separation from Vrindavan, pain of separation from Krishna. And then he writes this beautiful, and you know, he writes, and he wrote this diary, poems, not for public consumption. He wrote those poems and diary entries and he kept it in his trunk, which was discovered by his disciples few years later. And in one of the diary entries, he says, today I was feeling very lonely, but I revealed my heart to my friend and companion Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada considered Krishna as a friend and companion. When Captain Pandya told Prabhupada that Atlantic Ocean, I have been sailing in this for the last 30 plus years. I have been taking my ship, Jalduta. First time Atlantic Ocean has been so smooth. Swamiji, it is because of your presence. And Prabhupada said, no, this is because you are not driving the ship. Krishna has taken over the ship. Because Prabhupada was traveling with his companion. So like that. So then he comes to Boston Harbor. There he writes this beautiful bhajan, Krishna Tab Punya Habe Bhai. And there he writes, see, you know, I was saying Chokshi was thinking he's going to enjoy. But if you see this bhajan, what is he writing? He says, when I will be happy, he's coming to America. Look at his source of happiness. Tahala ananda hoy tabe hoy digvijay chaitanyera kripa atishay maya dushta jata duki jagate sabaya sukhi vaishnavera icha purna hoy. He says, when Mahaprabhu's mercy will spread everywhere and the dukhi people will become sukhi, that time a Vaishnava will be happy. I am coming here for that. He is writing that, you know, and then there's a I'm just doing a little fast forward. And then also in this secret bhajan, he's writing his relationship with Krishna. Tumara milane bhai abarase sukha pai gocharane guri dina bora katta banne chutta chutti banne khaye lutta putti sei dina kabe habe mora. He's saying, when will I wrestle with you, Krishna? When will I snatch food from your dabba? And when will we wrestle in the... So he's talking about a very intimate rasa of relationship with Krishna. And of course, the very next stanza, he writes very clearly, how he shows how Prabhupada is so grave and understands the gravity of our relationship in Gaudiya Vaishnava Parampara. We are eternal servants of Krishna. So he says, the last stanza, he says, Ami tomar nitya das, tai karo etayash, tuma bina anya gati nai. So he's going in the mood of serving his Guru Maharaj, and he sees this dazzling light and he feels sorry for the Americans. You know, just like when we see a billionaire or a very wealthy man or a celebrity, you know, we say, wow, I can preach to him. Wow, karodpati hai. But when a pure devotee sees a karodpati, he says, bechara, karodpati hai. That is the whole, the vision is alag hai. I remember once one very famous personality came, very wealthy person, to meet His Holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj. And after meeting Maharaj, that person went and we were looking at Maharaj, and Maharaj said, how much he is suffering. A very famous actor she was. Maharaj said, how much he is suffering in this body. Very, very nonchalantly he said. And one very wealthy businessman came, and at that time Maharaj said, he is a prisoner of his success. So pure devotees, their vision is completely different, you know. Like Prabhupada is giving lecture in Mayapur at a time when Mayapur was externally not known to the world. And in that class Prabhupada says, so we are in the center of the universe. For Prabhupada, Mayapur is the center of the universe. And there is one class of Prabhupada given in Detroit. He's saying, so we are in this remote corner of the world. For him, America, Detroit is a remote corner of the world. Many times he says in some cities, so we are in this village. So for him, Detroit is a remote corner of the world and Mayapur is the center of the universe. So like that. And in Boston, he wrote another bhajan, Bado Krupa Koilo Krishna. He says, Kilagiya Nile Eta Koro Ebe Gati. He says, I don't know why I have come to America. Krishna, why have you brought me here? And then he writes very clearly, Nachao, Nachao, Prabhu, Nachao Se Mate, Kastera Putali Ena Nachao Se Mate. So these are all written by Prabhupada in private, huh? Remember. It's not for public consumption. See, when we are asked, why do you chant Hare Krishna Prabhu? We have public answer, ready answer. It is the Kali Yuga Dharma. But privately you ask yourself in your journal entry, why am I chanting Hare Krishna? So it may be a little disturbing. Many times it may be out of motivation of fear. You know, Hare karna padega. War liya hai. We don't go deeper. But if we can go deeper even in our private moments, and then if Prabhupada writes, he signs this bhajan as most unfortunate, insignificant beggar. When he wrote letters to his disciples, he wrote, you are ever well-wisher. But when he's writing to Krishna, he's saying, I'm insignificant, unfortunate beggar. So like that, there's very beautiful pastimes in Butler, Pennsylvania also. And I want to just, in the end, speak a little bit on the way Prabhupada was preaching in America and how challenges he was facing. You know, initially old people were coming for his classes. Old men and women. And you can sense, those classes are recorded. You can see those. There is a sense of urgency. If you see Prabhupada's classes in 1977 and if you see 1966 classes. In 1966 classes, you will see Prabhupada's sense of, you know, the speed in which he is giving the classes. Very fast he is speaking. And he is speaking a lot of cultural things. You know, why women in India have hair parted like this? Why Brahmins wear sacred thread? All these things is explaining to old people in the class in detail. And is trying to get them interested. And then at one point of a time he says, in one lecture he says, so Krishna told this knowledge to Arjuna in the Gita. And then he pauses. Krishna? You know Krishna? And there is a silence from the other end. Because in India, everybody knows Krishna. In America, for them, Krishna is any word. I mean, they have no clue about what is Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada says, Krishna, you don't know Krishna? Photo, you have seen photo of Krishna? Painting of Krishna? They are just staring at him blankly. They have no idea what is Krishna. So then you can see Prabhupada's voice, you know, going down like, oh, Krishna, you don't know Krishna? And then he realizes the tall order. He is realizing what is come here for? And then he says, Vrindavan? Okay, he thinks so. They don't know Krishna, they may know Vrindavan. Vrindavan, you know, Vrindavan, sacred place. So then one lady in the class, she says, oh, yeah, secret place, secret, magnetic energy, secret place. So he says, no, not secret, sacred place, sacred. You know, they want some mysticism, some India, but not at all interested. So then Prabhupada says, oh, actually I am not happy here. You know, sometimes we give this search for happiness seminars. I always say this pastime. Prabhupada saying, I am not happy here. My heart is in Vrindavan. You know, Vrindavan is a very nice place. I am here in America, but I am not happy. And that one lady says, I can see you are not happy here. And they are all laughing. And Prabhupada is also laughing. So I want to go back home. I want to go back to India. Vrindavan is very nice. I want to go back. And then he pauses and he says, but I won't go back. My Guru Maharaj has ordered me to preach here. So like that, Srila Prabhupada writes, and then of course these people are not interested. Then one boy was coming, Bill Epstein. He used to come every day for Prabhupada's class, and he was such a nice boy. He was working in a restaurant called Paradox Restaurant. You know, they used to cook all kind of meat there. But out of his genuine sincerity, he would get one big box of lunch from his restaurant for Prabhupada. And he would give it. And Srila Prabhupada would graciously accept it. Of course, he never saw Prabhupada eat it, obviously. But Prabhupada would accept it. And he says, every day I was giving him lunch and he would smile at me and take it. He encouraged him to do seva. Then Robert Nelson started coming. He was, you know, Mahaprabhu says, Praner Arthir Diya Vacha. Give your life, at least give your words, give money. This person could not give anything. He was always dreamy-eyed. He would be in a stupor. And his eyes would be drooling. He would be half, you know, like completely like tamogun type. And he would come and say, Swamiji, tell me about Krishna. And Prabhupada would write letters to his friends in India. You know, this boy I met, he is very much interested in Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada would give him everything. And he would like, here, not interested in doing anything else. Prabhupada would tell him, we have to start a center here. We have to preach. Can you help? Yeah, I will help. But you do nothing. So one day Prabhupada confronted him. How will you help? Very soon I will start this tape recorder cassette business and I will make millions of dollars and then we will make your temple. Srila Prabhupada knew that this fellow can't do anything, but still he was hoping that he will do and he was encouraging him, giving him all Krishna consciousness and writing letters to his friends in India saying that Krishna consciousness ka hope hai. And one day Robert Nelson comes and tells him that, you know, I have found a very nice place for your center. Now here, Swamiji has moved in to a place where he's paying some $200 some rent. He's paying some rent there. And he doesn't have any money. But he's not thinking, I don't have money to pay the rent. He's thinking how to get a bigger place so that we can preach. So Robert Nelson says, I will go and see a place. So he sees a place and he gets Prabhupada. And they see that for a center. And Prabhupada says, very good, but we need one more hall there. And that agent says, this will cost $500 rent every month. Now, Srila Prabhupada's first answer is not that, okay, $500, we don't have that much money. He says, he doesn't look at the dollar, the rent part. He's thinking, but he doesn't have a bigger hall. We need a bigger hall for Kirtan. So Robert Nelson says, tomorrow I'll get another place, next place. Finally, you know, that one place they get for $1,000. Prabhupada says, this is very good. We can have center here. But can you see something bigger? Next day he finds one very big suite in a hotel, Columbia. And Prabhupada is finally satisfied. He says, this is the best place we can have center. But who has money? Nobody has money. And this is what Prabhupada was doing publicly. Huh? But privately what he was doing is heart-wrenching. All the money he earned from selling Bhagavatam in America, he used that to write letters to India. He wrote letters to Sumati Muraji. Because Sumati Muraji had written one letter to Prabhupada when he came to America. That, Swamiji, till you finish your mission, don't come back. You finish your mission and come back. So Prabhupada writes to her saying that, you know, my mission is to make temple here for Krishna in America. Please help. He gets no reply from her. So then he writes another letter saying, you have a chance of being the first Hindu woman to start a temple in America. Again, no reply. Then, Prabhupada is saying, reply nahi aa raha Sumati Muraji ka. Then finally he writes one letter to her. Sundar, okay, I understand you don't want to sponsor the temple, make the temple. At least two things I want from you. Please give this favor. One is send one mrudanga here so that I can go in the streets and do kirtan. And one more request, you know, very soon I'm going to do kirtan. Lot of young boys and girls will become devotees. And for them it will be difficult to come to America. So please give us free passage in your cargo ship Jalduta to come to India with all these boys and girls from America. So much confidence he is having. And all he has nothing. And then he writes letter to his Tirth Maharaj in India. Please help me. You know this president, Rajendra Prasad. I knew Radha Krishna. Do you know this very interesting pastime? When Prabhupada went to Dr. Radha Krishnan and told him about Bhagavatam endorsement, he said, what will this do for people? You should do something for practical. So Prabhupada said, what do you mean by practical? Dr. Radha Krishnan, he said, in Delhi Central Jail, why don't you do something to reform the criminals there? So Prabhupada sincerely for 6 months, 3 days a week, three days in a week, he would go to B ward of that central jail in Delhi and do a 3-hour program, 3 days a week for 6 months. And after 6 months, the warden there wrote a letter of appreciation saying that this has brought about a significant improvement in the attitude of the criminals here. And then Dr. Radhakrishnan was happy and he endorsed and he became good friends with Prabhupada. So much so that Prabhupada had gone to him during his last days. So Prabhupada writes to Tirth Maharaj saying that, please, you know Rajendra Prasad, please, and like that. And then there is one hot man, one agent, he had one big hall and Prabhupada said, I want this hall for preaching. And that was costing $10,500 during those days. And Prabhupada is telling him, give it to me free. He said, Swamiji, how can I give free? He said, no, but I'm trying to get money from India. And that time Lal Bahadur Shastri died in India. And Prabhupada had correspondence with Lal Bahadur Shastri. Lal Bahadur Shastri had come for Janmasthami festival, which Prabhupada had organized in Vrindavan. No, he had got Bhagavatam endorsement, sorry. He had got Bhagavatam endorsement from Lal Bahadur Shastri. So he tells Hartman, see, my friend Lal Bahadur Shastri died. What to do now? I would have got money. Now give it free and you become the trustee. You will get a lot of benefit. He was not interested. And then the best, the most heart-touching is his correspondence with Padampat Singhania. This is the most heart-touching. Now, Singhania is a very big businessman, industrialist in India. He gets interested in Prabhupada's offer for making a temple in America. He says, I am interested, but that temple has to be Indian architecture. So Prabhupada says, I am an old man here, we can't make it Indian style now. Let us, whatever we get, let us take it first. He says, no, you buy land and make a temple in Indian style. Then I will support. And plus, I can't send foreign exchange because there are some rules there. So you couldn't send money. So Prabhupada said, okay, then at least send me one man to help me. He said, no. And Singhania was desperate. He said, I will give all financial support if you make it Indian style. And Prabhupada said, it is very difficult to make Indian style temple now. Let us just get the temple. Let us just get a place. So in that earnestness, there is one letter Prabhupada writes to Singhania, where he says, very appreciative letter, huh? He says, Mr. Singhania, I really like your mood. Your mood is, there should be a grand temple for Krishna. You are the Dwarka wala. But I am a simple Vrindavan wala. I am saying, let us take any place that we get for Krishna. Let us start a temple. So let us now have Dwarka wala and Vrindavan wala come together and let us make something beautiful for Krishna. But Singhania did not reply. And later on, one desperate letter when Prabhupada wrote to Singhania, Singhania's secretary replied back saying, I'm not interested. He also wrote letters to Indira Gandhi requesting her. Indira Gandhi's secretary wrote a letter saying that Prime Minister, Madam Prime Minister is not interested in your project. So like that, he interacted with Ramakrishna Mission. He went to see one Bharatanatyam dance in a theater, seeing what is the mood of Americans for Indian culture. He was studying. He was trying to know more. So like this, many things happened. I would just like to end with one last pastime. I'll end with this pastime. This is the reception for Krishna consciousness in the initial days. You know, Prabhupada is giving, this is how typically his class would happen in New York. He is giving class and suddenly one man stands up. I don't think we have experienced this kind of lecture giving, where we are giving lecture and suddenly one man stands up and starts shouting. Srila Prabhupada is giving class and, some drunk man comes in in a stupor and shouts something, goes to the toilet, then goes back, again gets toilet paper, puts it there. And all these young boys, you know, Bruce, Greg, Chuck, Keith, Steve, they're all new boys. And they are like awestruck to see Prabhupada's confidence. He's like, not at all, he's unfazed, he's just sitting straight. Nothing is happening, he's not at all afraid. Prabhupada said, I am from Kolkata, nothing can happen. He's not afraid. There are snipers there in that area. Prabhupada is not afraid. And these boys see that Prabhupada is sitting straight without fear. And this guy comes and gives toilet paper and goes away. And Prabhupada looks at the audience and says, see, every living entity has a propensity to serve. Look at him, he has come and done some service. He is not in order, but he has done service. So Satguru Maharaj says, all of us were awestruck to see that this Swamiji is so cool. That attracted them, you know. And then Srila Prabhupada, in one class, one man gets up and he starts shouting. Prabhupada says, sit down. There is a question answer time. Don't disturb now. So then other people in the group, in the class, they are his supporters. They say, no, he has a right to speak, let him speak. So then there are some other people who say, no, he should sit down. So this argument is going on. So then suddenly some third person gets up and he shouts the loudest. He says, I want to know how long a person can go on without a thought. So then Prabhupada says, see, I have not finished the class. You please sit down. There will be normal question answer time. Please give me 5 minutes. Please sit down. Somehow that man sits down. And Prabhupada is speaking. Again somebody else gets up. So then Prabhupada is frustrated. He says, all right, this gentleman is impatient. What is your question, sir? Prabhupada says. So this man very confidently says, practically, we tend to place emphasis on those we identify with the fact itself. Many people are meant to explain the why force and the where force of the metaphysical truth. I think, therefore, I am. That's it. That's what he has spoken. So Srila Prabhupada says, what is your particular question? So he says, I have no answer to that question. Rather, I attempt, I breathe, I live. So Prabhupada says, yes. So he is trying to, kuch to bolega, clarity, kuch to clear bolega. So, yes, what do you want to say? So this man again, he has grabbed the attention of everyone now. He says, so, ability, tell me, Swamiji, tell me, why I have nothing to do with ability? May I understand the why force and where force? Prabhupada says, that is all right. And then, you know, Prabhupada is looking for something by which he can give Krishna consciousness. So this man, as he's talking, all gibberish. Gibberish matlab, kuch disjointed words. So he says, in one, somewhere he just mentions, I have difficulty in you, something he says. Prabhupada says, yes, difficulty. Material world is full of difficulty. So Prabhupada gets one point to hold on to explain. So then he starts saying, material world is full of problem. And then suddenly this man realizes that he's losing control. And Prabhupada is again going to have the audience. So he says, no difficulty, no problem. I actually have no problem. This is the greatest fact I have, I know. And Prabhupada again says, I know, I understand. What is your particular question? He says, actually, I know, what this man says. So this one devotee who has become a devotee just now, he gets very frustrated with this disturbance. He shouts, he says, if you know, then why have you come here? So this man again says, actually, I did not come here. Let me explain my position. This isn't necessary. I feel I must. I think the difference is to learn. You will find it innumerable times by the same token. Maybe we are able to reconcile the fact of the individual being a long time to find out why. This is exactly what this man is saying. So Prabhupada listens to him and then looks at one boy who just started coming. His name is Roy. He says, Roy, can you answer this question? Very simple question. You can answer, no? Answer. And Prabhupada is sitting. So the Roy stands up and very sympathetically to this rambling questioner, he starts explaining. All chaotic. And Prabhupada says at one point of time, enough. Let us have kirtan. So then Prabhupada does kirtan. And then everybody is dancing. And after kirtan, Prabhupada cuts apple into it and gives apple pieces to everyone. This is how Prabhupada's days were happening in preaching was happening. And during this time, Howard Wheeler, Ayagriva came. And then he saw Prabhupada walking in the 22nd Avenue area. And he said, oh, are you from India? And Prabhupada said, yes. And are you? He said no, and then Prabhupada told him to get his friends. That's how Chuck, Keith, all of them came. It's a long pastime. So there are so many things we could discuss of Srila Prabhupada and so many pastimes, but I will end here. And I'm sure today evening we will hear beautiful realizations of senior devotees. Once again, my sincere gratitude to Rudranath Prabhu, Baldev Prabhu, for giving me an opportunity to speak on Srila Prabhupada and serve all of you. Hare Krishna, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. His Divine Grace, Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada Avirbhav Mahamahotsav ki jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande, Hare Krishna.
Ram, Hare Ram, Ram, Ram. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram.